Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Oh, hi, it's Fat Mascara.
Oh, hey there.
What's up?
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Very excited to be in the studio this week.
I know, I haven't seen you all day.
I know.
Or all week, really.
It's been bananas.
It's a little bit cuckoo bananas.
How's your day? Because I didn't see you at all today until, like, we got to the studio, essentially.
Can I just tell you, before we talk about our news topics, this is what it's like to be me lately. Like, this, okay, she's the glamorous beauty editor. Here was my day. I kid you not. In the morning, I interviewed Nicole Kidman and I did a panel with her.
Glamorous.
So glamorous. She and I had a moment. I'm thinking about putting it on Instagram.
Your outfits matched.
Our outfits were coordinated. And I was like, look at me on top of the world. And then I get...
You're literally on a rooftop looking over New York City.
So, I was.
Yeah, I've seen this photo, guys. It looks like they're basically plotting like...
Me and Nick.
Know, yeah.
You know. So then I
running
get
the world.
The taxi after like this whole long day to go to the office. And
you want to make an appearance today at the office?
Yeah, you know, around 3, I go to the office.
Okay.
A freaking bird shit on me inside the taxi. Like, I did not even know this was, like, physically possible. Physics don't allow for the crap that happens to me.
Literally. Was the window, like, rolled down?
Or, like,
getting out of the...
The window was, like, cracked. And somehow a bird's poo landed right on the edge of the window, but it must have been a big one because it splattered in and got on my dress and on the side of the car. And I started filming down on my leg, and I was like, this is my life. Like, you interview Nicole Kidman, and then... the world just cracks.
It's like, you know? It's like you were getting, you were having too much fun. Things were going too well
yep,
for you.
Just keep it level. Like, this is just.
Wait, is that why you're wearing a different outfit?
Yes, I was
like,
what is,
I thought, I was like, oh, I'm like, that dress is pretty comfortable. It's kind of strange. She changed out of it.
Because of Birch.
Aw. I saw a tushy this week.
Wait, what?
I was walking down 34th Street on my way to work. And it's a really quaint little area. I don't know if you guys have ever been to New York City. But, you know, the 34th Street Herald Square Penn Station area is just, like, really charming.
She's being super sarcastic. It's literally the busiest, craziest part of the city.
It's like when they film movies of New York and they have, like, people go, like, hey, lady! You know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
In 34th
Wait,
Street.
Whose butt did you see?
A man just about to do something. I looked and I saw a little tushy. And I was like, wait, is that a tush?
Just look away. If you ever see a bare bottom in New York City, look away.
This
maybe pooped on my taxi. That's horrible. Sorry.
It was.
Hey, you guys, it's a beauty podcast. Yeah, remember,
it's really glamorous. Anyway, by the way, I felt really sorry for the guy. I'm not teasing the guy. I'm just saying this is what you get in New York City.
Oh my god.
You know, he had to do what he had to do.
Lest you think we're out of touch with the real people. So, what are we going to talk about that is beauty focused?
Okay. Well,
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Jen's going to tell you.
I want to talk about the new Glossier drop because they're coming fast and furious. These Glossier products, are they not?
It's like a conveyor belt of Glossier launches lately.
So we're going to talk about the latest. And then, you know I love some FDA sunscreen news.
I'm going to let you do the science on that one.
Get into this. You know I love a stupid journalist who misreports the science.
I feel like there was, forget the Glossier drop, it was like the FDA sunscreen job that was really your Christmas.
Okay, so we'll have a little for me, a little for you.
And then we are going to keep it glamorous. We're talking about feet. We're talking about those little stompers that you're walking around in.
It's a good time of year to do that. Summer, you're going to be putting on sandal. Who's our guest?
Dr. Emily Splickle. I have to say, she enlightened me about so many things. I was basically taking notes and just had my jaw on the floor during this interview. Feet are very important, and you got to keep them fresh, especially for the summer. So we're going to talk about all things Tootsie related.
Let's get into it.
Well, I felt we needed to do a real, like, crowd pleaser moment here because everyone was DMing us and asking us what we thought of the new Glossier drop. It's called Bubble Wrap. And this really has been a lot of, I feel like when Glossier product, like, comes out, there's a lot of conversation. We don't address all of them, but I felt like this was big enough that we need to take a moment.
And I feel like we're perpetuating the Glossier myth, but it's not us. It's you guys and friends and everybody, whenever they drop something, like, wants to know about it.
It's kind of crazy, right? It's like they drop them like singles.
Yeah. You know? Here's like a single. What's it called?
It's called Bubble Wrap. And it's interesting. They did get some, like, pushback or feedback from people because they thought that, like, it was anti-eco-friendly.
Oh, my God. The moral police online. I can't even. Okay. I think it's tongue-in-cheek because we all love their little pink bubbly Ziplocs, which everybody reuses, by the way.
It's on brand for them.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, naming aside, and you can tell us if the name bothers you. I actually am really curious to hear. It's an eye and lip plumping cream. It has lots of antioxidants, an antioxidant-rich blueberry extract, and they say that it also has the world's strongest hydrators, hyaluronic acid, squalane, and avocado oil. So I'm just going to put a little bit on my...
I don't think that's technically true, the world's strongest. They should fact check
that. They said nature's strongest hydrators.
All right.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that you don't really need to regulate how you use that. But so I've used it.
I think you do, actually. I think it depends on where. Okay.
That might have been the press release, not on the label.
No, it's on the website. It's on the website.
Interesting. Okay, so I've used it, actually, and I have thoughts. What are your thoughts?
You know, we keep on, like, going back to, like, you know, been our brown eyeliner years, our chocolate brown years.
I feel like we're getting into a call Jess old fashioned moment.
Call me old fashioned. I think this feels lovely. It feels really nice. I think I would love this if I didn't feel like it is time. I like a balmy, creamy, like, I like Crisco under my eyes.
Oh, this is too light for you?
It's too light for me, but I also don't like light products. I think we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. I like a rich, creamy, like, Crisco. But I do think it's cool that it's an eye and lip plumping cream. I like that it's eye and lip.
Yeah, and Emily Weiss talked about how that's a beauty editor trick, which I have heard that you can use your eye cream on your lips because both are very thin areas of skin on your face.
Yes.
I'm going to go the complete opposite route with you. I don't use eye or lip cream. So I was just like, this would just add a step that I don't think that I need. I know I'm one of those crazy people that just like never, it's eye cream is just like another step I'm not going to do, let alone a lip cream. You kidding me?
But so when you do your routine, you just take your stuff like your
all
cream,
the way up to my lash lines on the bottom. And I even put it on my lids, my anti-agers and everything.
Well, you look good. So it's working for you.
P.S. If you use a retinol or retinoid or anything that's very active or with an acid, do not do that. Mine do not have that.
So that's what I'm going to say. And I think Jen chime in at any moment. But like, I feel like we've done this story throughout our careers. Like, do you really need an eye cream? And a lot of derms say no, but they will say that eye creams are you guys know what I mean. Eye doctor tested, okay? I'm not going to embarrass myself anymore. They're eye doctor tested so that if they migrate to the eye, which they will, especially if you're using it on your lids, you're safe. I don't think you're going to go raging blind if you use your average non-retinol, non-highly active cream and you put it there. But I think if you have sensitive eyes like me, I like to use something that is really tested for that eye area.
And also, if you're someone who does use a very active product, which you know you're not going to be putting anywhere near your eye, you still want to hydrate that eye area. That's when I think eye cream really comes into play.
Totally. You know what I wish more eye creams had?
What?
SPF.
It's hard for them to, right?
Yeah, Clinique made one. I don't know if they still make it. Wait, I've got to ask.
Dermadoctor makes one that I really, that I like, that has SPF. Yeah.
So we've got intern Tiff at the table right now, and she's like the ultimate like demo for Glossier. Have you used this? You want to use it? What's the deal?
So I haven't used it, but I think it's weird that it's an eye cream plus lip cream. Like, I would never expect myself, not now or in my chocolate brown years, eating lip cream. I don't know.
You don't think you'd need a lip cream in your chocolate brown years?
No.
My lips look like two little dead Swedish fish.
I'm not even that old.
Oh, you'll see, young one.
Yes. Wait, one other quick thing. But were you excited about the Glossier drop?
I don't care for it.
Okay. Oh, I thought I was getting the other answer.
I'll try it out. Okay. I haven't tried it, but okay. I don't know. Not my thing.
Now, there's one other thing. Thank you, intern Tish. You're the best. The neck area, I heard, is the same thickness of the eye cream, of the eye area. So I know that you got to economize with those little jars, but I heard that since it's the same skin, you can use your eye cream on your neck.
Well, you know how I feel about the French face, which is basically from your forehead all the way down to your bosom.
Yes, yes.
I put everything I put on my face all over that.
I like
all the
that.
Way down my neck, all the way down my chest.
Okay.
So that's another way you can handle it.
That's a really good tip.
If you put bubble wrap on your neck, you'd be go through one bubble wrap tube like per
I'm
week.
Putting it on right now.
Okay,
it
is your beauty
nice
editor.
Neck.
So that's our thoughts on Glossier's newest drop. We're curious to hear what you guys think. So DM us and join our private Facebook group. It's not that private. We will definitely approve you if you ask to be invited.
Oh, and membership is up. Conversation
is
banging.
So we want to remind you. We link to it on our Instagram. You can go that way, or we link to it through our website. So there you go.
All right, so there's another big drop.
Tell me.
Okay, this one's not a product. This is a study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people, derms, PRs, other beauty editors, just filling up my inbox saying, like, did you see this study? Or, like, with
CNN,
their hot take.
Men's Health.
Yeah.
USA Today. So many people reported on it. Basically, remember the proposed rule for the FDA that came out back in February? And I got all fired up because a lot of people
Was it again? Just refresh.
Basically, every couple of years, the FDA puts out a proposed rule of how we should update sunscreen labeling or mm-hmm. what information is needed.
Right.
And in February, they were like, okay, we've got these, you know, ingredients to work with. We need more data on this one and this one. And basically, it was just a call to action to get more data. But of course, everybody took it.
Right. They just want more information. And then people come out like banging
their drum. The FDA said these chemical sunscreens are killing you.
Yes. Or like, this is the worst sunscreen on earth.
Truly, And the EWG put out that press release about they were saying these two sunscreen ingredients aren't safe, when that is not at all what the proposed ruling said. It said they needed more data.
Yeah.
So here we are. The FDA asked for more data. They themselves are doing some of the studies that they requested.
Mm-hmm.
So they published one of the first ones since that proposed ruling in JAMA, which is a peer-reviewed medical journal. And basically what it said was oxybenzone, which is a chemical sunscreen ingredient, gets absorbed into your blood when you apply it to your skin.
Okay.
good Lord, you would have thought vampires were real. Like, oh my God. Like, things. The exclamatory way that people wrote about it was freaking me out. And I had read the full study and the editorial that went along with it, and I knew not to be freaked out. So yeah. Here's the deal.
Yeah. Can you just put it in, like,
basically, they
real
took like 30
terms.
People. They had them apply sunscreen every 2 hours for a week. To the point where, like, it's unrealistic how much sunscreen they were using. More than the average person uses. I think it was something like 5 tubes worth in, like, 4 days or something.
Oh, my God. Truly, I don't go through a tube a summer. JK.
No,
yeah.
Just to truly see, if we push this to the max, what someone might be doing, what are the levels going to be like in their blood? Sure enough, within a day, if you put something on your skin, it ends up in your blood. This isn't a nano size or whatever. This is just a topical ingredient. And so I don't know why people are so freaked out about that, because literally 15 years ago, a similar study came out and said, like, yeah, if you're putting stuff on your skin, it gets into your bloodstream. So first of all, the way they said it made it sound like this is news to everyone.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, this isn't, like, we're not wrapped in Teflon. Yeah. Our skin is a permeable barrier.
Yeah.
So, okay, fine. It gets in our bloodstream. Why are people freaked out? Because they're like, oh, my God, it's a chemical. It's killing me. There was nothing in the study about whether or not it causes harm once it's in your bloodstream. And yes, there are plenty other research that show that we really should be looking closer at some of these ingredients because they might be endocrine disruptors, because mouse studies have shown that. But at this point, there is no causal research that shows it gets into your blood, it causes you problems.
I've asked a couple of derms, like, to just kind of give me their take, and I'm not going to share what their personal thoughts are, because, you know, this was like a more chill conversation. But I said, do I need, this is for you guys, and this is for, do we need to change our habits? And overwhelmingly, and I don't think they're like sunscreen lobbyists, because they would just say, okay, we'll use like a physical one. They weren't that freaked out about this.
Because they're scientists and they actually have seen the other reports and they know that this is just more data that's adding to the picture of data that we have.
Oh, wait. One thing that I will say that they said was whatever harm this can cause, which is not proven and they don't believe that it's going to cause any real harm, the idea of not wearing sunscreen is like, hello, like...
Right?
That skin cancer, and we've known for a long time that, you know, that's a given. That's a fact. Well, I was going to say it's affecting the skin cancer, but, like, it's a fact that you up your risk like crazy. You're begging for it.
It's crazy to me that how people are still, like, unsure that some, like, I don't know. I'm speechless, obviously.
No, it is a really kind of frustrating, not kind of, it's a really frustrating topic because we know so many people in so many cases. I've had a lot of skin cancer in my family, and... You know, usually it's because, you know, there was not really the knowledge about using sunscreen. So people didn't really know. Now we know, which is great. We have so much knowledge. We should be using it, not going backwards in time.
It's so funny when you find out something's healthy and now for some reason we're all trying to demonize it. It's weird.
Yeah.
I do want to shout out somebody who I keep going back to for a lot of like a good layperson's take on science. Lab Muffin Beauty Science. I follow her on Instagram. She's a cosmetic chemist. And she always, I'm always like, yes, girl, preach. Because she takes the time to really think about what she's talking about, and she did a great post on, like, just showing all of these exclamatory headlines. And I would just say, when you guys see a headline like that, dig a little bit deeper. I'm not here to tell you that oxybenzone is totally safe and you're totally fine. They need more research. It gets into your blood, so you want to know what it's doing once it's in there. But really, just take all of this with, like, a grain of salt, please. That has been Jen's sunscreen FDA PSA. I'll get off my little box now.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honey Love's Superpower Shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honey Love products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honey Love is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. So we cover beauty from top to toe here at Fat Mascara, and I hope you know that means literally. We are here with podiatrist Dr. Emily Splickle, who is here to field all of our foot-related questions. I know that I have a lot. Jen, do you have some too?
Oh my God, so many. Also, sandal season is coming.
Yeah,
right?
So you're wearing great sandals right now, Dr. Splickle. I noticed
I'm
your feet
super
right
comfortable
away.
Right now.
Those are great sandals. We'll get to those in a second. But thank you so much for coming. I know you're fresh off a flight from London.
Yeah, but thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so the beauty world is not really like that far removed from the podiatry world. But when we talk about feet in beauty, it doesn't get much further than the pedicure. So how do you think your work connects with beauty?
I mean,
like, why are you here?
Why do we book you?
Why
am I here? Should I be answering that?
Yeah.
I think that there is a huge connection between how we treat our feet from, like, beauty products.
Yeah.
Beauty habits, whether you're thinking of the skin, you had just mentioned that sandal season. So we start thinking of the nails and the pedicures and the skin and the dry calluses that maybe we have, and how we can keep our feet looking just as young as the rest of our body. Thinking like hands. Hands is another part of the body that you want to look
young. Are feet a giveaway too, just hands are?
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, you seem really sure about that. When you say, oh, yeah, like, what have you seen? Have you seen mismatched
feet? What's an old
feet?
Foot?
Yeah, what is an old foot, and how do we avoid old feet?
Well, you know what an old hand looks like.
Yeah, creepy.
You start to get a little bit of the discoloration, the skin on the top of the foot. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking of like summer and where you're putting sunscreen or sunblock on your body, a lot of people forget their feet, just like they forget their hands in different areas. So then that skin is thinner and it starts to age a little bit faster. I would say even more so than that is the nails. Is top.
Like yellow and weird and crusty. Yeah.
Why? We sound very young right now. Remember we thought we were like old for a minute? I feel so young.
This is a problem we don't have yet.
It's probably around the corner for me. So the nails, when I think of like, you know, grandma-like toenails, they're kind of like thick, right?
I mean, that's not just for grandma, but it's definitely the direction you do not want your nail to go. And I would say that's probably the topic that has most of the myths on the internet of like, oh, I have yellow discoloration. Is it fungus? Why is it thicker? What can I do? And then there's so many at-home remedies that honestly don't really work.
Like baking soda or something
they don't really work. Bleaching, you can bleach your nails.
Correct the myth. And so what do people get wrong about thick yellow nails?
The big thing, if you do have yellow nails and it's coming from your nail polish, that's very different than if you have yellow nails and it's coming from a fungus. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go down like rabbit hole, but that's most common what it is. So I see a ton of patients, women who come in, they take off their nail polish and the nail is yellow or discolored and they freak out. They think it's fungus. They come to me and I'm like, it's not fungus. You're just putting on, maybe it's a gel pedicure and you're doing the gel and the gel and you just keep doing it. You don't take a nail holiday is what I call it. And you actually want to skip a period so that the nail can recover itself.
Oh, that was a question we had. Yeah. Like, do they have to like breathe at some point if you always wear polish?
You really do want
them
to.
Or a nail holiday.
Yeah, a nail
holiday.
I call it a nail holiday.
Nail holiday.
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah, where if it's like in the winter, it could be a nail holiday. Okay. Or if you take maybe a month off, just the repetitive, especially if you're doing the gel or the shellac, that it is going to dry out the nails.
So that yellowness is a dry nail.
It's either from a pigment from the nail polish or it's from you just occluding the nail. And then you could start to get a little bit of discoloration. Fungus is very different, very characteristic. That actually doesn't present in the same way when you get used to seeing what it looks like.
So quick question about, I'm just going to go back to the nail discoloration from polish thing, because my nails, this is like a little TMI for everyone, but I'm sure some people may nod in agreement. When I take off the nail polish, I can't wait to get polish back on because they're not yellow, but they have like a white chalkiness to them. When I go to the pedicurist, they'll take off the nail polish and they'll like scowl and they'll say like, you need a break or lighter color. What is this, the dryness from?
Yeah, so that's actually the same thing, that you're dehydrating the nail.
Ooh,
and your nail is layers and layers. You can't tell, but it's microscopic layers of the nail tissue that when you take off the nail polish, especially if it's the gel or the shellac, you take a layer of the nail off.
Oh, my God.
So that's what you're seeing. So it starts to become thinner and thinner. That's where it might break. And then some women will say, oh, when I do – I know, I'm so sorry. I'm giving like traumatizing news.
Jess is bracing herself.
Yes, I'm giving traumatizing news. But if you – took off the nail polish and even took like a week off to allow it to just like breathe a little bit, strengthen a little bit, maybe do nail strengthener in between.
Mm-hmm.
So and a lot of the nail strengtheners are clear, shiny. They look like a lacquer.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have a little bit of like an appearance to the nail. It's not just a bare
Jess, you need a nail holiday.
Just in time for, like, you know, summer's around the corner and I'm thinking about this. But I took it off for like a week or two and I didn't see a huge difference. And I was like, oh, these ladies must not know what they're talking about. But here I've got it straight from the doctor's mouth. They were all right.
Yeah. So obviously not everybody that's coming to you is like, my nails are yellow. It gets more complicated than that. But, like, what's the most common thing people come to you for?
From a beauty perspective?
Sure.
I mean, nails are honestly one of the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. I would say some of the, not really beauty, but the way that the nails are cut. Mm-hmm. So the way that the pedicures cuts the nail versus the way that you really should cut your nails. My biggest tip anytime anyone asks me is you want the nails to be square, not round.
Because
when you make them round, you start to shorten around the corners, and then that's how you get an ingrown toenail. And then that opens Pandora's box to really infections and things that you don't want to have to deal with.
That's a great tip.
But trying to keep them square. Other really popular pedicure questions that I get is like safety pedicure tips is cutting the nails square. This is for the pedicure. For your hands, you can absolutely do the rounded manicure.
Yeah.
Having them push your cuticles, but don't cut the cuticle.
Right.
When they start getting along the edges, so the inside-outside edge, and they're really digging in there trying to get every last piece of your cuticle, that's where they start to get a little bit too aggressive, and that can lead to these infections, ingrown toenails, things like that. And then if you're concerned of the baths, like the foot baths that you put your feet in, where so many people get grossed out by that, big thing with that is if you're going to either wax your legs or shave your legs right before you do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that because shaving creates little cuts and then waxing opens the pores.
Yeah.
And then you're going into an unknown cleanly level of water. And then that's honestly where you can start to get the infections.
Now, we see a lot of pedicures now even billing themselves as medical pedicures or like more intensive where like they get out like this rotary tool and they're like filing around and sitting down thickened nails or they're getting out a razor blade to shave a callus. Like what can you get done safely by just like a manicurist and what should you really go to a podiatrist for?
Yeah, those blades are actually illegal in New York.
Okay, so no blades. And, well, as a doctor can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And do you? Ever?
Yeah.
So if I get really gnarly calluses, it's time for a doctor's appointment?
Yes, I'll take out my scalpel and shave them.
Oh, my God. I want this job. This is my new job.
Oh, my God. I'm like passing out. We want to
shave everybody's feet. Okay. What about those rotary tools? You know what, like, they look like files almost?
Yeah, that's a podiatry tool.
Oh, but I've seen them at like.
Yeah, I know. They really shouldn't be using it.
Guys, what are you talking about? You say rotary tools. What does this mean?
It's a spinning disc of like a sandpapery thing.
Yes, is probably a really good way. It originally came from dentistry.
Okay.
So think of like a carpenter.
Yeah.
Power tool. It literally is a power tool.
Is it skinny?
It can be skinny. So it's think like the size of your pinky fingernail. Mm-hmm. And then it's round. These are the ones that are in a podiatry office.
I've seen these.
And then you can file the nail and you can kind of pumice some of the hard skin.
Well, there's like different things to put on.
Yes, you can change the attachments. The one that I have in my office, I use more for nails versus other areas. But I mean, if someone doesn't know, if you're too aggressive with it, you can cut someone. And then that person in the pedicurist doesn't know how to manage infections. And you know what I mean? So you want to be smart.
You know, I think I've actually seen versions of these tools in home kits. Like home pedicure kits.
Definitely as seen on TV for $29.99 with 8 different attachment heads.
Yeah, I mean, I would be careful at home too.
Okay.
I might have one of those ladies. I'm sorry, I do. But I'm very careful with it, I promise.
Good.
I use it more as it has a pumice attachment.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I put it on my heels to like soften them up, but like.
Yeah.
With like less elbow grease, more electricity.
Yes.
Okay.
But at the nail salon, they should not be whipping out some.
100% not.
Okay.
Because,
again, you could cut yourself, I guess. Other than the things that you just mentioned, are there other pet peeves for, like, people come in with and that they got something done wrong at the manicurists or the pedicurists?
I don't want to keep going into, like, infections and ingrown toenails. But there's just so many, like, questions around it. And it's one of the highest things that is just misunderstood, I feel, is that if you do have, let's say you went to the pedicurist and they were cutting too aggressively the cuticle, or you wore tight shoes or heels and it was pushing on the corners of the nail, so now it's red. It's yeah. irritated. You want to leave it alone.
Wait,
do not touch it.
The lady shouldn't get rid of it?
No. At the pedicurist? Yeah. No. But let's say you get your pedicure, your fresh pedicure, and you put on some stilettos. You go out. You have a fabulous night. And then the shoe is pinching just because it was too tight. Yeah. So it starts to push on the nail. So now the nail is irritated.
Totally.
The skin is red. You're freaking out. It's an ingrown toenail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should just leave it alone.
She put air quotes on ingrown toenail, right? Because it's not.
Yes,
just
everything
let it
is
be.
Air quoted. Yes.
Yes.
But it really isn't. It's just irritated from the pressure of the shoe. Mm-hmm. And I would say the biggest thing of what happens is patients think it's an ingrown toenail. They think that they can dig it out or cut it out or free it on their own.
Yeah.
And then they just make it worse
versus if
you just have a little bit of redness. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. Mm-hmm. Wear maybe a little bit wider shoes. You can even soak your foot in warm water and then give it a couple of days. It'll calm down.
That's great advice because every time no, I'm serious.
Don't go digging.
I recognize this. I'm not a digger. I'm not like about to take, my feet into my own hands like that. But I've gone to the nail salon and they like, tisk, tisk, and they go like ingrown. And then they start digging and I start questioning their skill level about digging out ingrown toenails, but I just do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you.
I think the doctor is saying, come to the doctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
do you
want to know why?
Am I going to throw up?
No.
squeamish about the feet.
Well, I don't like things with fingernails or toenails.
I didn't realize it was toenails, too.
Okay.
It's all nails.
Tell us.
Small fact.
What could go wrong?
So and it's hard to explain this kind of, I'm showing you, but for those that are listening, is your nail actually goes about, what is that, like a quarter of an inch? Yeah, a quarter of an inch under your skin.
Yeah.
Where you can't.
On both sides, that you could never release a true ingrown toenail with whatever tools you have at home.
Wow.
Because the nail is actually under the skin in a way that patients don't realize.
They realize the root of it is under the skin, but like this is the sides you're talking
about.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's all just lay off the weird looking toenails and go to the doctors.
I love this advice so much because when I think of things that I've done even as a beauty editor at the pedicures, like I really am just like putty in their hands. My cuticles, go for it. They look gnarly,
No, I think you need to be like, push, don't cut.
Sometimes if my feet look gnarly, I'm like, okay, like let's just do it. But this is, you're reframing. My next pedicure visit is going to look nothing like, the dozens I've had in my life.
And I hope your pedicure is still beautiful.
It's all right. okay, so let's talk about let's shift gears a little bit. Can we talk about dry feet? This is probably going to be a little bit more like benign of a conversation, right? Like how do you just, sometimes I put on sandals and I have like these little like chalky looking.
Ashy skin.
Yeah, hooves. I have hooves.
In your heels?
Yeah. Yeah, they look like very hard and the skin is thick.
Yes. Oh, the poor listeners.
This is a fun episode. I'm loving this.
Jen is loving it.
You should see the grin on my face. It's huge. We'll talk after, but okay.
Yes. So for dry heels, you can get it equally in the summer and the winter because a lot of people think like, oh, I get it more in the summer, but I get it a little bit more in the winter. So it depends on the shoes that you're wearing. If it's in the winter, it could be that your heel is rubbing the back of the shoe.
Mm.
And then that's starting to create the thicker skin. In a sandal, like I have essentially like a flip-flop on, the back of it is putting just more pressure on the fat pad and the skin on the heel, which then starts to dry out the skin at a faster rate.
Mm.
Not to make that too boring and technical.
No, what do you do about it?
So then you want to make sure you hydrate your feet every single day.
With
just
what?
Like I hope people are hydrating their entire body. You hydrate your face. I'm guessing most of your listeners hydrate their face. But you should be doing every part of your body and especially your feet. Now, the skin on the feet is thicker than other parts of the body. It obviously takes a pounding because we're walking so much. So you want to use something that's either urea-based, lactic acid-based, has a salicylic acid in it.
Oh, wow.
I would say those would be the top three. You can use, I actually love Vaseline. It's one of my go-tos. Mm-hmm. After you take a shower or bath or whatever you're doing, is your skin is absorbing all of the water from the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to seal it in the skin. So Vaseline is a sealant. So I put Vaseline on the heel and then you can wrap it in saran wrap. So you occlude it, put socks on and then go to bed. Wait, like, that would be a nightly treatment.
You just made me think of something because lots of our listeners love those baby feet masks where like the whole foot peels off 3 days later. Have you seen these? It's like an exfoliating solution. You put it on with little baggies. You walk around like an idiot for 45 minutes. It comes off, looks like nothing happened. And then 3 days later, your whole like foot skin falls off.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't tried it. I have patients that tried it. I have girlfriends that have tried
it.
My feedback is, again, not have tried it myself, but of what I see, it works. So that's great.
Okay, it's not like dangerous, like we're losing like important skin there.
But the downside of those is that then people think they can kind of be complacent and then like, oh, I'll just do the baby foot and then it'll right?
That's me.
Yeah. Quarterly baby feet instead of like just moisturizing.
We'll just baby foot it.
I would recommend just getting in the habit
of
moisturizing your feet. See, every shower, every evening.
Okay. I don't do that because I'm afraid I'm going to slip. But I guess just put on socks.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about. We're just going through. Like, I have so many questions. Is this okay? Is this what everybody does to you at cocktail parties?
I'm really enjoying having you here. This face I have on is not because I'm not enjoying it. I'm just so freaked out about all this stuff.
I know. Basically, this is an episode for us so we can learn for ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
It's selfish.
Okay. Let's talk about stinky feet. I'm sure this is an issue that even if they don't bring it up, you know right away. Do some people have worse smelling feet than others? What's going on there?
Yes, but the odor of feet comes from bacteria that's associated with the sweat. Or it is fungus. Not to go down that path again. There's something that's creating
it. Can you smell the difference as an expert?
Yes, there's certain types of bacteria that have a very specific smell. Mm. And fungus just has its own smell.
Is that like a Dorito cheesy kind of smell?
No, I don't even.
All different sorts of nastiness.
Yeah, oh, just nastiness. But yeah, so if your feet are sweating excessively, that's honestly what's going to lead to the smell.
How do you make your feet? Order. Like, I'm not about to be putting Botox in my feet so I don't sweat. Like, how else could you make them? Or do people do
you
that?
You can soak your feet in tea.
Like just like Lipton tea?
Yes. You brew tea. Don't brew it like you normally want to drink it. Let it cool down, obviously. And then you soak your feet in the tea. I say generally around 10, 15 minutes every single day for a week. And what it does is the tannic acid in the tea shrinks the sweat glands.
Wow. This is a great tip.
That's cheap. Yes. A couple Lipton bags?
Yeah. I mean, you have to explain it to whoever you live with, but... I mean, it's definitely like...
No, they know you have smelly feet. They're like, get out the tea bath.
They're like, I'll prepare it for you, babe.
Okay.
I would say that's one of the easiest ones. Really, my go-to would be, the hyperhidrosis just means when you sweat a lot. Yeah. There's like a prescription strength deodorant, underarm deodorant.
Yeah.
And you just use it on your feet. And it does the exact same thing.
Oh, that's cool.
They actually just moved it to OTC, some of the strengths of that ingredient. And I actually have, there's some new products that we could recommend.
Oh, cool. I'm ready to try it this summer because I'm gonna be the one to stand up for all of us, okay?
And put aluminum chloride deodorant on your feet?
No, I'm about to admit something.
Oh, what? Okay? Go ahead. I'm excited.
So we all are like in this trend with sneakers now, like just like a cute sneaker, just pop your little feet in, like no sock. When I've done this, I do not take off my shoes unless I'm like home.
Because who said no sock? Of course there's socks in there. They're the little no-show little booty socks.
I don't always have those no-show socks.
You need a ped.
But even those little thin peds, like...
It's not cotton. And
like, you're saying your shoes smell.
Sometimes they smell. Okay, guys? Sometimes they smell.
That's why you have to wash the shoe.
Well, I do that. Oh, okay. But I did wash the shoe. Sock.
A sock does help to absorb some of that, right?
How do we...
Yeah, but you want to wear the right type of sock.
Tell us what's
not,
the right
not
type.
Not just thinking thin sock and a sock that you can't see, so it's kind of a hidden sock, is synthetic materials... are actually the direction you want to go versus a cotton. Oh. Cotton's just going to sit and absorb and be a sponge and it's just going to...
Oh, but like a wool would wick, right?
No, she's saying synthetic.
So more synthetic. I don't know if you're familiar with some of the running socks. So they're very thin and they have a synthetic, like a wicking.
Oh, I use this for hiking, a liner sock. It's like...
You could get a sock that has copper in it or silver in it.
Okay.
Both of those materials are antimicrobial.
Have you seen these kind of socks? Because I'm about to look on Amazon as soon as we're done.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, this I have to tell you, this is an invaluable visit right now.
Your feet are going to be like so moisturized,
smelling neutral.
Holiday nails. Yeah. Nail holiday.
You're changing everything from the ankles down.
Oh, okay. There you go. Perfect.
Okay, so tea, the sock issue, and any sort of, what about the powders that people are putting in their shoes? Is that even worth it?
So the powder
is... Asking for a friend.
Think of like...
Hey, I came out.
They might have mentholated Gold Bond.
Right.
And they might pour it in their shoes at night. Is that a good move or no?
So powders, like you powder your face, right? So that it's absorbing any extra like oils and things like that. It's not going to stop you from sweating. So like the deodorant and the tea soaks is actually stopping you from sweating. The Botox that you mentioned, most people like cringe when I say that.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Where it's just like, it's a treatment. So I have to recommend it as a treatment. Those stop you from actually sweating. The powder is just absorbing it.
I'm not a sweater, but when I'm nervous, my feet sweat. Isn't that weird?
No. Like, it's not weird.
Not under the armpit so much. It's the little feet.
Interesting.
I know. Like little trotters.
I'm learning so much about Jess in this episode. I'm really enjoying it.
Why did you think that we had her on? I just have
so we could talk about your bunions.
Oh, excellent segue. Okay, so Jen and I think, Jen, you're the only other person in my age group who's had a bunionectomy.
I've had it in high school.
Oh, you had it in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, so I totally know your foot type now.
What's her foot type?
Really?
Probably a hypermobile.
Wait, literally I went to yoga this weekend and she was correcting me. She's like, oh, you're hypermobile, aren't you? And I said, I don't even know what that means.
What
How did you know that just from me telling you?
The only time you have bunions in high school, you said, like around high school?
I had both done, one foot then the other.
Yeah, the only way is if you have hypermobility in your feet.
The yoga instructor said I had hypermobility.
Good for you.
You're a genius.
Oh, yes. So hypermobility is when some people say like double jointed.
Yeah.
Like if they're like they can... extend their elbow.
I'm quite bendy, yes.
Yes. Or, you know, you can hyperextend your knees. You can bring your thumb to your hand.
Oh, I can do that. Yeah.
Okay, yes, you're hypermobile.
Am I hypermobile?
No.
So bunions aren't normal. That's a very small percentage, I imagine, that are getting bunions super young, right?
In high school, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what is a bunion and when does it normally come about?
A bunion is a deviation of one of the long bones in the foot, which then creates an angulation or like a bump on the inside of the foot.
But it's not a topical bump. It's just it's a structural thing.
It's
right?
a structural,
It's a
yes.
crooked-ass bone.
Yeah.
Yes. The bone shifted.
The medical doctor's
like, there you go. The bone has shifted. A lot of people will blame shoes. It's actually not shoes.
Oh,
it's
another
much
myth
more
busted.
Foot type, like the hypermobility. But your hypermobility that you get the bunion in high school is more rare, but a lot of people still have like a lower degree. So then they would have bunions, I mean, even like upper 20s.
So I got my bunionectomy when I was 22.
This podcast is
this
great.
Is like really sexy, right? And this is like the hottest.
Tell us more about your bunion. Yes.
But I always had, like, even when I was little, like, I had really wide feet. Like, we'd laugh and we'd say, like, my shoes should be shoeboxes. Like, really just like wide feet. So I had a little Taylor's bunion, too. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about a little P.S. I just got one of my feet down. I'm not doing the other one until I'm, like, retired because it was so traumatic. It's a tough surgery.
What's the question here?
It is.
A lot of things. What's a little Taylor's bunion?
Oh, yes. Taylor's bunions.
So Taylor's bunion.
And then
bunion,
let's talk about the surgery.
Yeah. So the Taylor's bunion is on the other side. So the fifth toe.
Pinky toe side.
The pinky toe side where you get a deviation of that long bone. That one is less... foot type mechanically driven. Mm-hmm. Some people have a little bit of a curvature in the bone, or it could be from shoes.
That one's
actually a little bit different.
What do you mean it's from shoes?
Meaning if you're wearing narrow shoes, pointy shoes, mm-hmm. and you're pushing the big toe and the pinky toe in.
Toe, it's like a little triangle.
Yes. And then what pushes out is the long bones on either side, on the outside
oh,
and the inside.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can we talk about, since Jen and I, like, just take us down memory lane, like, what happened to our feet in the bunionectomies? Like, what is that surgery about?
Okay. So the Taylor's bunion, they most likely just shaved a bump.
Okay.
Is my guess. They just called a bumpectomy. Mm-hmm. Would be the easiest way to describe it.
I like it.
Yes. And then for the bunion,
yeah,
most likely what they did is you shave the bump off, and then you make a cut in the long bone, in the head of the long bone, and you shift it over, and you put a screw so that it stays in its new place. And then you release a tendon that pulls the toe over, so then the toe sits straight.
How many of these do you do, like, a month?
So I actually don't do surgery anymore.
Oh, okay.
I do stem cells. So more regenerative medicine.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah, different side.
For bunions, though?
Not for bunions. Oh, for other types of foot issues. So I'll send patients out. But I did bunion surgery for 5 years out of residency. And then I shifted away because my practice is more anti-aging, regenerative medicine.
She's
the
chic podiatrist. Only the best for Fat Mascara.
No, yes. So it's just how I shifted my practice. But still the understanding the bunionectomy, understanding bunions, the mechanics, that's just foundations of podiatry.
Oh, did you like doing them?
I mean, it's pretty badass to be in the OR. Cutting people open.
Better you than me.
You know.
Yeah, I love that we have like the most fashionable podiatrist in New York City, and we're like, tell us about corns. Tell us about bunions.
So, yeah, okay, let's get to corns. Let's get to corns. Okay. Do you feel like we've covered bunions enough?
Totally.
Okay.
She's right. Like, never again. Good, we're good.
But oh, wait, is there something? Wait, hold on. I've got to ask. Bunions, are they hereditary, and what can we do to keep them from getting worse? I understand with the Taylor bunion, those pointy shoes are no good. But I've seen a lot of, you know, advice like, you know, wear wide shoes or like put a little gadget on your feet and you'll be all done.
Yeah. So bunions are not hereditary, meaning like if your mom had it, does it mean that you definitely have it? It's not genetic. Some people will kind of say that as well. It's not sitting on a gene. You don't come out of the womb with a little baby bunion, which is, you know, it's based off of your foot type. I often say that the ligaments and the way that your tissue, like your skin elasticity is, that is genetic. So if your mom, like hypermobility, someone in your family probably has hypermobility and that was genetic. So then that made you susceptible, not, oh, the bunion was genetic. So foot type is more of a driver, feet being weak, flat feet has a higher incidence of it. So I try to tell people, keep your feet strong. Yes, wear proper shoes. If you do wear narrow shoes, it's just going to kind of feed the bunion a little bit. And then you can absolutely do night splints and things like that. Some of my favorite products, Bunion Booty. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No, it sounds cute. We'll link to it.
Yeah, so Bunion Booty is a little splint that goes over the big toe and it pulls it out.
Okay.
It's nude colored, so it's hidden. It's not like a big bulky contraption. You can wear it in your shoes. I have a lot of patients that use it when they do yoga or Pilates or anything like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then another product is called Correct Toes, which is a toe spacer.
Oh, I've seen those, yeah.
Almost like a pedicure where they would do.
Yeah, I love yoga toes.
Yeah, so Correct Toes is actually a little bit different than yoga toes because you can actually wear it in your shoes.
Oh, wow.
And again, if you can do yoga or Pilates or any workout with either of these, to me, that's a positive. Yoga toes, you can't.
Okay. Right. Okay, now back to corns.
Okay.
By the way,
with
the bunion thing, you can't like fix your own bunion, though, right? Like, there's a point we need to go see a doctor.
Yes, that would be probably the biggest myth. I was saying that one of the biggest myths is around like thick, discolored nails. The other foot topic that has so many myths is about bunions. And that I cured my bunion without surgery is total bullshit.
Like, okay. Just treat and try to buffer the bunion.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Now.
Right. Now.
Back to corns.
Back to corns, right. So what are they?
A corn. So if I'm talking about corns, I feel I have to talk about calluses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So a callus and a corn are both thick skin. But a callus is more like broad pressure, where a corn is like pinpoint pressure.
Oh,
so you get corns on like the knuckle of the toe.
Yeah.
Fifth toe is probably one of the most common ones that some of the listeners will have it. Thinking pinpoint pressure to the knuckle of the toe creates a corn. Or you can get a corn very specific on the bottom of the foot, like the ball of the foot where the bone is pushing down, where a callus would be diffuse. It's a bigger area. Calluses are what you get in the heel. Same type of skin, different type of pressure.
And how do you fix that? Can you fix that yourself? Dr. Scholl's sure thinks you can.
Yeah, no, don't use a corn remover from Dr. Scholl's.
Okay.
Please don't. Because patients will leave it on. It has salicylic acid on it. So it's like burning
through
the thick skin away. And I've had patients just like leave it on because like longer's better, right?
Totally.
Well, you know people.
And then they just leave it on. And then eventually they take it off.
There's
and they
like a hole in their whole body.
No, like literally. I've had patients in the emergency room because they left it on. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh
don't.
My God.
Longer's not better. So you could pumice it. You could keep it soft with urea, lactic acid. You could wear wider shoes. You could use a silicone slip or protector on it. And then go to the podiatrist who will do the sharp blade shaving of the corn.
Okay. In a medically safe environment.
Yes. Sterile, medically safe.
Okay. What's next? Tell me, what was the next thing? I have no segue for this one.
Okay. Let's talk about blisters.
Oh, blisters. Oh, I was supposed to ask about blisters.
You're like, our rhythm is totally thrown off.
Because we're so excited about this
We're
topic.
So excited, and I'm so like, what next? It's like watching a horror movie.
No, my big question was to drain or not to drain. Because some people are like, oh, it's a cushion. It's there for a reason because you had friction. You know, what's your take on the blister?
Yeah. I mean, that is actually a really good segue.
Okay, good.
Good. Corns to calluses. Mm-hmm. So corns and calluses.
We planned it that way.
Yes. Those are pressure. Blisters are friction, which is what you had said. So just so people understand that. If you're thinking that you're getting a blister in the back of the heel because your shoe is rubbing or maybe some of the toes. Yeah. I've seen it in the ball of the foot depending on how the shoe is moving or the person is walking.
Ooh, sometimes the arch.
Yeah.
So like the sock bunches up in there or something.
Yep. Any area that you're getting it. So what you want to do, this is the biggest thing, is you do want to drain, but you keep the skin intact.
So just pop a little hole in it.
Yes.
With what?
With what?
A
ballpoint
sterile
pen.
No.
That's really thick.
A sterile needle if you can.
Like a sewing needle that was in alcohol or something.
Yeah.
And then the fluid comes
out. Or you could
out.
Burn it and then you're
burn the needle, not
it.
not the blister people.
Yeah, right. Burn the needle to sterilize it and then clean it with the alcohol and then,
And let the fluid come out and then just leave the skin intact.
Yes.
Got
and
it.
Then you could put on either moleskin, which is what a lot of dancers, you're familiar with that as well.
Yes.
And then
I was a dancer. I'm a hiker.
Okay. So moleskin is great. Or I think Johnson & Johnson has the second skin.
Second skin's good.
Yeah, second skin is
it's
really
like a
good.
Like silicone sheeting. On, right? You paint on the second skin?
There's some that is spray.
Okay.
And then some are almost like a Band-Aid, but it's not a Band-Aid.
Like a silicone-y kind of
silicone
thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or something
all right.
Like that.
So I've heard of podiatrists, and I'm sure Jen's heard this too in her time, you know, as a beauty editor, who will actually inject filler into the feet so that, you know, wearing high heels is more comfortable. Is this a phenomenon you're familiar with?
Of course, yes.
Have you done this to people?
I have not. So there's a division under podiatry that's like cosmetic, I guess you would say. And there's a handful of podiatrists that do this.
When you say there's a division, like we had this conversation with dentists, like, you know, 6 months ago, we had a dentist come on and we said, look, you're a cosmetic dentist. What is that? He's like, it's a ridiculous term. There's no, like the governing board of dentists doesn't designate who's cosmetic and who's not. It's just what they are into. Is that the same thing with podiatry?
Yeah. I mean, there's actually an organization that kind of oversees that side of, call it cosmetic podiatry if you want, where you would learn. So learning to do a fat pad injection of Juvederm, or I mean, you're not doing a fat transfer from like the stomach into the foot.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, that would be nice. that's not something that is covered in residency or fellowship or anywhere. So
I understand.
It's very, very like super niche that only a handful of podiatrists do it. However, I have referred some patients to do it, not so they could wear heels longer. It was more medically necessary. Mm-hmm. Like some people just lose the fat in their feet at a faster rate, depending if you're a runner. So runners actually lose the fat in their feet.
Oh, wow.
If you do wear a lot of high heels, you will lose the fat in your feet.
Wow.
Faster.
That's so interesting.
And then certain foot types. So if you have a really high arch and you wear heels, and you're a runner. Yeah. You're just compounding every reason of why you would lose the fat in the ball of the foot. That's usually where people lose it, is in the ball of the foot.
So you mentioned these different shoe types, and now I'm curious because you came in and I don't know if those are, they're cute, but they might be comfy too. Like, what is worse, medically speaking, a high heel or like a flat flip-flop that's flipping around?
I would say the high heel.
Okay. I wanted her to say flip-flop. Damn it. Okay. So what is a good shoe that is actually like a podiatrist approved but doesn't make us look crazy?
Well, I'm a very different podiatrist than most other podiatrists.
But we want to hear from you.
Okay. Most of the podiatrists would say something that's supporting your foot, which is not the direction that I'm going to go because I'm wearing sandals that are totally flat. I prefer something that's more minimal so then people can use the strength of their foot, get the full mobility of their foot.
So you really went the other way.
Yeah.
Like those big new trendy sneakers that have like tons of arch support and Balenciaga
sneakers.
Like your foot just turns to mush in there, huh? Because the shoe does all the work.
Yes, 100%. That is exactly the way that you want to describe it.
Wow.
So more of the, it could be flat. You can rotate it. Think almost like a Converse.
Yeah.
Or like Allbirds is one that's popular that would be better than some of the more supportive, super cushioned.
Because you want all the muscles to be working.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like the runners that run in barefoot. Some of them are like they're running just because like they want to get the muscles.
Yeah,
to
like
be
the
stronger.
Five finger. That's what I wore.
Oh, those
on the
are ridiculous looking.
That's what I wore. I love them.
Have you seen these?
Yes.
They look like little gloves for your feet.
They look like gorilla feet.
Why do you love them?
Because I was a gymnast.
Okay.
So I love
you like to feel grounded.
Yeah, and I have to like move my feet, and when I work out, I'm pointing my toes still, even though I'm at the gym.
Yeah. You mentioned like we should strengthen the feet. And when you said that, it was kind of from the back of my head. Like, what does she mean? Because you don't go to the gym and see like a foot machine. So what is that? How do you strengthen your feet?
Some of the, I guess yoga is a really good way. Mm-hmm. Just taking yoga, Pilates, any bar. Because you're constantly aware of your feet. You're doing a lot of relevés. Your toes are engaging. All of that stuff is
A little tree pose with one foot like gripping down on the ground.
Yeah, that's one of the best ways to strengthen the feet. Balance exercises, so that's going into tree pose. So I'm a huge proponent on any barefoot practice, which would be really any of the ones that I just mentioned. Or you can do foot-specific exercises, which are just not a towel crunch and things like that, but more pushing the toes down, recovering the feet, rolling the feet on a golf ball. So you want to do that as well.
Okay. So let's just talk about products for a second. You mentioned a product at the top. You're like, your cream should have like urea and lactic acid and salicylic acid. Is there a product that has all of those things?
It usually wouldn't have all of those elements it. I would say
just burn a hole in your universe with all that at once.
So some of the products that I like is CeraVe SA. So you want the SA after it. That means the salicylic acid. They have a foot-specific one.
Oh, wow.
That from a top patient rated. Mm-hmm. That's like a patient rated product that they really like that one. Arm & Hammer has an exfoliant and it has a brush on the end of it, so you can actually
get a little
abrasive, plus getting the salicylic acid and the hydration elements to it as well. The lactic acid, that's more of a prescription.
Oh, okay.
So that would be one. Obviously Vaseline. Mm-hmm. You know Vaseline.
Yeah.
So you can get that one. I would say those are some of my favorite from the foot care, foot hydration one. I had mentioned that you can wrap the foot in like a saran wrap or something like that. There are, I don't know the brand that makes it. It's like probably $5 on Amazon. And you get these little silicone heel slip.
Oh, wow.
And it just slides on just the heel part. And you put whatever product you choose, you put it on the heel and then put that silicone piece on the heel and then you won't slip. Right? Or it won't rub off on the floor.
There you go. I don't want to fall.
Yeah. You could put your socks on over top, or you could just wear what the silicone piece.
This is great information.
I mean, who knew? I just thought it was all corns. Any other beauty products you like? We made you talk about feet this whole time, and you're a lovely woman. You probably have a great skincare regimen and other things. What are some of your favorites?
For feet?
No, for anything. No. It's a beauty podcast. Now's where we like would go through your purse if you let us. But what are some of your favorite beauty products?
I'm obsessed with vitamin C, with emu oil.
Emu oil? Uh-huh. Is that face oil?
I mean, I put it all over my body, but emu. I put it on my
like
face.
Like the bird
as well.
Emu?
Is there a brand or like a specific product you like?
So the emu oil has to be accredited from, I think, the Association of Emus or something like that. There's a certain quality standard that you want to get from the emu oil. So you can actually see that they will be approved by or accredited that the quality of their product meets a certain standard.
I didn't know that.
Is this coming from a bird or am I just...
No, it's from the bird. Emu is a bird.
Oh, like it's like, okay, to make their feathers like waterproof or whatever. There's some oil they secrete?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that, you can get them on Amazon. Skin Biology is where I get... Skin Biologics. Skin Biologics is where I get the emu oil. I mean, it's like a little... vial that is so expensive. So you want to, that's just for my face. I don't put that everywhere. Then I'll go on Amazon and get more of a general emu oil. That's another one of my favorite. And then
I'm thinking this might not be a vegan friendly product.
No, I'm thinking.
And no, I apologize for any.
Okay. We'll find out if the emus are. Yeah. Some animal products are, it's the animal's not harmed, but we'll find out. But okay, emu oil. What else?
Yes. And then peptides for.
For your skin.
Yeah, for my skin.
Is there a particular cream you like?
I like
She's picturing it in her mind's
eye. I know, because I'm also sleeping from my flight. Olay Hendrickson.
Oh, yeah. Olay
Their products? Yeah. Any of their products I really like.
Nice.
But I'm like keen to try anything. I love Sephora.
Then I'm going to send you some baby feet because I want to know what you think of it. Yeah. If you're keen to try anything.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to.
Yeah.
This is a fun like.
I don't know if my feet.
Oh, hers are probably like perfect and
she
smooth.
She did have beautiful. I noticed them when she walked in her little sandals.
They're nice, aren't they?
Yeah. Who makes those sandals?
Oh my gosh. These are like Aldo or something like that.
Oh, they're good.
They're good. You're good. Thanks for all of the.
Yeah.
I'm going to like tea soaks for everybody in the family.
I'm getting those socks like tonight.
Yeah.
The little synthetic socks.
With some copper business in
them? Oh, no, the silicone and the synthetic. Because I've been wearing little cotton like shoe socks when I do wear my sneakers with socks. But they look dorky. So maybe I'll get some thin. Like
or thin copper socks would be another one that I would do.
Jess, I'm going to find some for you. I'm going to give you a present.
Thank you.
Dr. Splickle, thank you so much for coming on
Fat
Mascara.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So it's time to raise a wand. But first, can I say I'm just getting a bath of tea? For Eric's feet.
Oh, poor Eric.
No, I never knew that tea tannins make your sweat glands shrink. That's crazy.
I never knew that.
She was a great interview.
I learned so much, and like I'm changing the way that I clip my toenails.
Good. Now tell me, what can you raise a wand to?
Okay, I am obsessed with this body wash. Ready? It's the body wash.
Ready? Brace yourselves.
Well, you guys know, just want to preface, I normally like an unscented like Dove body bar or like even by the CVS.
You were using eucalyptus a couple weeks ago.
No, that's my scrub.
Oh, that's
my
scrub.
That's for like my like décolleté, back and shoulders.
Oh, but for your, yes, okay.
But for like my body, I like unscented sensitive skin because I get itchy skin. And I also know that it's not good to use that like anything foamy or scented on your bits.
Okay. By bits, she means your vulva. I love saying vulva and watching Jess's face. Okay, so what are you raising a wand to?
Okay, Dove body wash mousse with rose oil. Oh my god, you put a little bit in your hand. Uh-huh. creamy delicious all over your body. I feel like I'm a girl in one of those ads. Like,
oh, it has a nice surfactant.
It's so
velvety foam.
Velvety, luxurious. I can't believe that this stuff is like under $10. It's so good and it makes me feel so like truly pampered at the end of the day. I will say that like I'm not irritated by the scent, but I don't use this on my bits. I use the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like a
a normal and unscented.
Sensitive, unscented.
But so far, I'm doing well with this. Like, I'm not, my skin doesn't feel itchy.
And do you have to use a poof to get the lather, or it just comes out lathery?
I don't mess with poofs. I feel like they're mildew collectors. Yeah. But
there was a lot to unpack in that about your health habits in that last razor wand. I like that.
But I think this is a great product. It feels so luxurious. I love the scent. If you love rose, you're going to love it, but they have other scents too.
I love that we're both doing a bargain this time because mine's under $10 too.
I think I still feel like shame from recommending the Chanel like $500 cream.
Listen, you guys know we go high low. I interview Nicole Kidman, then I get bird poop on me. It's just how we are.
that's the most appropriate like analogy for this whole scene.
Okay, so I'm raising a wand to a top coat for my nails. So I took a break. You know I'm getting married soon.
Like, get married.
And so I was like, I got to get off the gels for a little bit to get my nails nice and strong again so I can get a good set of gels for the... Because you know when the more you do the gels, the less they stick.
Ugh.
And I need these to stick. So I'm back on doing my own manicures. And I've been using the Olive and June polishes and they have the little thing the poppy to help you do your own nails.
Explain
evenly.
What the poppy is really quickly because nobody knows.
I'm not raising a wand to that, but it basically is this little rubber topper that you put on a regular nail polish cap, and it gives you that sort of balance so that you can it just makes it easier to paint.
It helps you like steady your
thank you.
Your non-dominant hand.
Yes.
So you're not just like flailing in the wind. It helps you kind of hook onto something, put your hand down
and still be balanced enough to polish with your hand resting against something else.
Yeah.
I actually do find it helps somewhat, but what I really love from this line is their top coat. So $8, and it's one of those top coats that, like, I don't think they can call it quick drying, but I swear to God, it dries quicker than a lot of the other top coats, but it still has that plumpiness of a gel kind of top coat, so it gives you, like, that full... Honestly, guys, I'm going to tell you a good top coat if you did a shitty manicure. It kind of just smooths it over, almost like a blur cream, right?
That's such a good analogy.
So this one, I did a paler color, and it didn't look so great. But once I put the top coat on, it just smoothed the surface. The little nicks here and there you didn't notice. And I've been doing it every, like, 3 days, and it's been looking good.
That's weird. I need that top coat because I put my nail polish on today at my desk, and it's still like it doesn't have that salon shine.
Even if you mess up your salon manicure and you're like, oh my gosh, should I go back? Sometimes I'll just throw on like a top coat like this that has a nice plumping quality, and it deflects the eye, and it looks like your polish is new again. $8, so not bad for
nice
a fancy pants kind of polish company. Raise a wand.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.